You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Hello, friends. In this episode, I'm going to introduce you to Kathy Burns. What we talk about is how her life changed after a catastrophic event. There are a lot of things that I think make this story interesting, but one is that with the passing of time, with the benefit of the passing of kind of a lot of time, actually, she can actually look back and see that what felt stable before all this happened, what felt secure, would actually have come to an end anyway. And so we talk about what happened. We talk about what changed. We talk about what decisions she made to make it through and what she does now and how she figured out to do that. All right, that's a lot. I think you're gonna like it. So what do you say we go ahead and get started? Kathy Burns, welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm happy you're here. Are you ready for a fun chat?
I am ready. We're gonna have some fun today.
We sure are. I begin all of my conversations by asking my guests what part of the world you're in. So where are you?
I'm in fabulous San Diego, California, USA.
Nice. All right. So in a second, we're going to get to the topic of the day, but I want to ask one more warm-up question. We always say laughter is the best medicine. What is something that you can rely on to bring laughter to your day?
Every time I see a little Juke driving down the road, I do not know why the little Nissan Juke makes me smile every single time I see it. I'm like, it's a Juke. It's a Juke. And I want one, but it's too small for my needs. But oh, I just love them.
That's a fantastic answer. I love that. I've gotten a lot. I mix up this question every so often, so it's changed. I get a lot of variety in this question, and I love that. So the Nissan Juke on the highway or the roads around town makes you laugh. I love that. Okay, the topic of the day. We are going to talk about the big changes that happened in your life and your businesses after 9/11. So let's start with this. What was life like for you before 9/11?
Before 9/11, my husband and I had a publishing, printing, and design agency. We worked for the major hotel chains, Marriott, Omni's, and Radisson's, and we were putting together hotel collaterals. You know, all the stuff you find in hotels, the brochures, the in-room directories. We were doing video tours of the rooms. We were just basically supporting the hotel industry with marketing.
Very interesting. All right. So now I also lived through 9/11, but as I was putting these questions together, I was thinking about it. I talked to a lot of people about the way lockdown changed their life because that's a more recent one. Let's go back and sort of talk about where were, I have to ask you the official question for 9/11 as I'm beating around the bush. Where were you on 9/11?
I was in St. Petersburg, Florida. I was actually driving past a park on the way to our studio and our publishing agency, and I pulled over, right? And I heard the news and I couldn't drive. So I pulled over and that's where I was. I was on the way to my studio.
So you heard it on the radio then, it sounds like.
Yeah, driving.
All right. Yeah. No, so yeah. So East Coast, 9/11, it was the morning. And that's when that happened. Yeah. So they're good. So I suppose we shouldn't really assume that everybody who's listening knows what kind of interruption happened, for people at that time. So share your story of the immediate interruption, the first few days right after 9/11, what happened?
Right. So because we were in the tourism industry, I don't know if you recall, but all flights ceased and desisted. I was in Florida on 9/12. We had tens of thousands of dollars of contracts put on hold. They did not pause. They're just like hold, stop production. So that was 9/12, right? The day after. Right the day after, they didn't pause because no one was allowed to fly for starters. So who's going to go to a hotel in Florida? We did have hotels nationwide, but basically, our big database was Florida, our big, consumer base. And the sad thing was they went on hold. They didn't cancel, but they never came back. So it was a long, slow death of our agency because they never, we thought, oh, maybe they'll come back. But, it was such a huge hit for everybody. The contracts just did not resurface.
Yeah, so it's interesting to think that far back because it really was quite a long time. But initially, because it was planes were involved, the planes hit the towers, there was that immediate freeze to the traffic. I remember watching the animation. I wasn't really an animation, the replay of all the planes like landing, and planes had to land right away, and they didn't go back up in the air for I don't even remember how long, and people were stranded in all kind of crazy places, like so because you couldn't get back on an airplane, so people were renting cars and driving one way and doing all those things. And it's been a long time since I've thought about what a crazy interruption that was for us. Also, for younger people who are listening, it was really, really, really a different sort of time for information. So, like you found out listening to the radio, it was there was definitely there was internet, there was email. We all had cell phones at that point, but it was different. It was very, very different, in how we shared information and how things moved around. So that was that. So at this at the time, did it feel right away like a major catastrophe for your business, or what was the time frame before you realized that this was going to be a much bigger shift for you guys?
The day after.
So immediately you knew that it felt like it was ca catastrophic.
Because we were in tourism in Florida,
Yeah.
right? So it hit us instant. Not as instant as those in New York, obviously,
A different thing, yes.
it hit us instant, the day after, no holds barred. And yeah.
All right, so very good. So as I was writing this, I was thinking about it because you were in a model of business that is probably very, very different today. So you were in physical printing of marketing materials that are distributed in hotel rooms, right? Do you, I think that, I mean, I know you don't actually do this same thing anymore, but do you ever look back and think, oh, you know what? We would have had to change anyway because I don't even know if that exists.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. We had a two-color press. We were running four-color print jobs on a two-color press. It doesn't even happen anymore like that. So no, we were on our way to being antiquated, which was ironic because our press was only about 5 years old at that point, but we were on our way out anyhow. So in retrospect, it was a blessing, that we exited when we did. It
So
probably would
that is
longer,
interesting.
slower, more painful death if we wouldn't have had 9/11.
Right. This is not to say that anything about 9/11 was good, but yeah, but like with the benefit of distance from the situation, because in the moment, in August of that year, you probably did not think that that industry was changing or that it was it was on the way out.
Right,
Yeah.
exactly.
Yeah. So that's the, so within a year, you make some major changes. So the day after you know that there's a catastrophe that's hit your business, yikes, that must have been really scary. But within a year, you make major changes to your life and your business. You move from Florida to California, I think.
Yes, we shifted.
You shifted. All right. So was that exclusively because of the change in the business, or was there other stuff going on that, had you wanting to move to the West Coast?
Well, it was mainly the business. However, my husband's from California. He's from
Okay.
San Diego. And he spent years talking to me. He's a surfer. He spent years talking to me about the waves. Hey, babe, look, there's 6 inches. He'd surf on the Gulf, right?
Right. We don't have waves in Florida, really.
Surfing board every day, it's like,
Yeah.
oh, we got a foot, I'm going out, it's
Yeah.
all just incessantly. And so what happened? But it's really hard to move from Florida to California due to economics, right?
Sure.
It's so much more expensive. We owned a house in Florida. It wouldn't even hardly be a down payment for a house in California, so on and so forth. But what happened was, we basically went bankrupt. Not really bankrupt, but basically bankrupt.
Okay.
Because Homestead Act, we can keep our house and whatnot. So when you're broke, you're broke. And you can be broke in Florida, you can be broke in California. When you're broke, it didn't really matter. So that was our impetus to move to California because who cares? We're already broke. right?
So that is a very optimistic way to look at it. Yes.
Well, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, you can broke here, you can broke there. And my husband said this, and because we lost our company, right? We lost it. He goes, look, I will take a job working for the man in California, if you move to California, and you can have a year off to reinvent yourself. And I'm like, wow, because I had never really ever, I'd worked my way through high school and college. I paid for all my college. I've been working forever, right? Since I was 16. So I'm like, oh, wow, a year off. Because he knew that what I was doing was not my calling. And I knew that. I kept saying, what should I do when I grow up? But I never had time to stop and pause to figure it out. So sure enough, he took a real job, right? Working for the, and he gave me a year off. And only with that space and time was I able to re-identify myself and reimagine what I wanted to do and what I could do for a living. And that's actually the beginning of my agency as a professional organizer and image consultant.
Oh my gosh, that's an amazingly powerful story. So there's a couple things in there that I just want to touch base on, which is, so you basically lost everything with the business. It doesn't sound like you went through the official economic like filing of bankruptcy, but you lost everything. Closed the business, not a lot of assets, except for the house, which in the state of Florida, if you have a house or a mortgage, there's some protection there. We call that the Homestead Act. And so, because I live in Florida too, and it's like one of the things, you update it every year. it's a whole thing here. And then you move. Do you take a lot of belongings, or do you sort of like exit with two suitcases and a t-shirt on your back to move to California?
We took too many belongings, and we had too many. This is way before I was a pro organizer. We had too many belongings. Okay. We had so many belongings that I had a yard sale 4 weekends in a row prior to moving. And at one point, I'll never forget this. It was so humiliating. This guy looks at me and says, "Did all that come out of your house?" We had so much stuff that even after 4 weekends, it took 2 Salvation Army and Goodwill trucks to come take the rest of the stuff away. And even after that, we took a whole huge truck full of stuff to California and across the United States. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Wow. All right. So, and you had a big moving truck that somebody drove across the country with all your stuff. All right. That's a big time move. Okay. When you get to California, when you get to San Diego, you start your new business, and you shared this with me on your intake form. You start your new business with just $49. I am very curious about this. Tell me a little bit more about that. Like, what do you mean when you say that you started with 40? Like, what was it that cost you for? What, I mean, because that's not very much, Kathy. Like, I'm just really curious. What was in that $49?
Business cards and door hangers, which I printed on my own because, you know, as a printer, I already knew about this stuff. So I printed some business cards. I printed some flyers, 2 up on an 8.5 by 11. I hole punched them. I bought a thing of rubber bands, and I walked door to door to door in the expensive neighborhoods and hung my door hanger saying, "Hey, I'm a pro organizer. If you need help, hire me."
And wow. All right. Now that makes sense. I was like, I've never heard this is not exactly true. The other day I had dinner with somebody who said that their mortgage payment when they first bought their house was $75. I've never heard of anything like that ever before in my life. But so I was expecting you to say that it was like your LLC or your filings. I've never heard of one that would be $49. So this makes much more sense. So business cards and door hangers. All right. Very good. Okay. So we're talking about you starting a new business and starting over in California after a massive life change. I want to take a second and talk directly to the audience for the people who are listening and watching and invite them into the conversation. With every episode, I post a discussion question. So come on over onto social media, Instagram and YouTube, any of the channels, and you'll find a question and you can interact with me, with Kathy, with other people in the community. It's super fun. If you're not already connected with the show on social media, the links are in the show notes and everywhere. All right. So now picking up where we left off. All right. So you mentioned in the intake form for this that the timing of starting this business was pretty good because at the time there were some popular TV shows about household organizing. And my question about this is, was this strategic by you, or would you say that it just happened by luck?
Happened by luck. Absolutely. Happened. In fact, the whole business happened by luck. The whole business started out of a love offering for a friend.
Oh, really? All right. So, tell me more.
So I had a year off.
Yep.
My very first girlfriend that I met had a year off as well. She was on a hero's healing journey, and she was a homeopathic doctor, and she was sick. And we became good friends. See, I spent the first 10 months of the year off just trying to figure out, what do I want to be? Who am I? What are my skill sets? So I was in prayer groups, I was in meditation, I was in taking all the tests, right? I met this woman. She was also on the year off journey to just heal herself. We became really good friends. I went to her house, and I'm like, honey, you have too much stuff. You're surrounded. You're never gonna heal with all this stuff. And so I helped her starting to purge and starting to heal. And she goes, you know what? You're really good at this, and you're kind, and I don't feel badly about this interaction. You should talk to my girlfriend, who has been hiring a professional organizer for years. And I'm like, what's a professional organizer? She goes, oh, you need to talk to Judy, and Judy will tell you what's going on. So I called her girlfriend Judy, and Judy gave me 45 minutes of a loving conversation, telling me exactly what her pro organizer was doing for her for all these years. And I'm like, I could do that standing on my head asleep. Because if you backtrack, I was a licensed boat captain. I taught, you know, I sailed, I lived out of a duffel bag. I was a travel writer. I lived out of a suitcase. So I was kind of a minimalist, even though I was hoarder back in the up in Florida, but I kind of knew what space and energy does to your life. And I knew that if you're surrounded by so much stuff, you're not going to really thrive. And so that's what I was helping my girlfriend figure out. And when I talked to her friend, I'm like, wow. Now, I had also been helping my friends get dressed for years, like pick out outfits and buy clothes and whatnot. So I remember the day Lynn and I came home, and my husband, you know, had just gotten home from his real job. I'm like, baby, I know what I'm going to do. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a professional organizer and image consultant. And he's like, okay, honey.
Oh. He pats you on your head and says, "That's nice. I don't know what that is. That's not a real thing, but that's nice."
Right. So here I am, you know, almost, well, 20 years later, doing it. And actually, you know, I couldn't have done it without my husband, because at that point he really knew SEO and marketing, and he put my website to the top of the pile. I was even over NAPO, my national association. If you did a Google search, professional organizer, I was right there on page one, top, above my
Okay.
association. So he really helped me at the beginning. So he didn't really get it, but he helped me a lot with that. So that was like a huge blessing to have someone in my pit who knew SEO
Yeah,
back,
absolutely.
SEO and Google and all that good stuff.
So I want to backtrack a little bit because you said something that's really, really interesting. Because we talk about the choices and changes that we make, and you took a year. I think that today people would call that a sabbatical, like people who talk about taking a sabbatical, but you phrased it at the time as taking your year off to find yourself. And during that time, you helped a friend, but when you began to talk about that in the like current day, there's a past version of you that had a skill set that made this very strong, which was so this was something that you learned through experience, through your life experience. But at the time when she said you were good at it, was it something that you had sort of filed away, like, you know, it was not on your list of things that you would have listed as a skill set you'd sort of forgotten about, not taking seriously?
Absolutely, absolutely. I had not even considered that. I just knew that she had too much stuff.
Yeah.
So, but what's interesting is I had, you know, and actually I didn't take a year off, which is interesting to me, because I never had time. I only took 10 months off. In 10
Okay.
months I launched,
Very, yeah.
oh, I'm like, why did I do that? I don't know. I was so excited. I should have taken the other 2 months, but I was so excited I just launched. I had taken, I used what color, I had taken all these tests, right? And a lot of
Right.
them, like Myers-Briggs and all that crap, and you can like skew them to whatever you want them to skew. But I found what color is my parachute at the time. And I took all these tests, and what the test came up with was, I love change. And I'm like,
Okay.
that's a skill. I love change. Most people are afraid of change, right? Well, I am, because I've had seven careers. I'm like, I so, but you know, hit me on the head. I didn't know that I liked change, even though I had changed so many times, because it's just kind of what who you are, right? And I'm like, oh, okay, how can I put the skill of loving change into a career? And then when Judy was telling me all the things that her pro helped her do, shift and change and move through some stuff, I'm like, okay, this is something where I can work with this.
Very nice. So you were taking the personality test that we all take. There's a million of them. I love taking personality tests. There's a part of my like business story that is about getting a surprising result from a personality test, because you can however you answer the questions is going to give you the matching result, and it changes. Although sometimes they should kind of sort of stay the same our whole life and in some degrees. So, but then you were looking at a book, which is What Color Is My Parachute, right?
Yeah, Carol Jackson.
That is not a new book. Somebody gave me that book in probably 1995 when I graduated from college. Yeah, so.
It's powerful. I actually lead some of my clients through those exercises. I do parachute work with my clients who are trying to transition and figuring out what are they good at, what do they love, because you can't screw it up, you can't skew it at all. Like it pretty much dead sets tells you who you are with a view of these graphs that you take. And I think it's powerful. It's still, it's in like edition number, whatever,
It's got to be a
35.
lot.
It
It's
still
got to be a
is.
lot. Yeah.
It still works. It's still powerful. And without it, I really don't think I would have understood myself as a change agent. I don't think I would
It
have
makes
gotten.
sense, because one of the challenges of anything like that is that we're not great at reading ourselves. We sometimes need people to mirror it back. And that can be harder than it seems. Like, some people do have an excellent framework and they can do it. So when you take these business courses, they're like, ask your friends, ask your family. And I remember I asked my husband, I was like, so I'm doing this is many, many years ago, doing this business course. It wants me to ask you, what am I good at? What am I not good at? These kind of things. And he looked at me, we were sitting on the catch, and he's like, listen, this is not a good question for me to answer. Like, go find, it's not good for our relationship for me to do this. Go find somebody else. And I was like, okay, fair enough. Off I go. So there are other ways to it.
And even with parachute, when you're done, the suggestion is go ask your friends and family what they
Yes.
think about your results.
Right. And I mean, it's good advice. It is good advice. I just love that story, because my husband was like, not with a 10-foot pole, no way, no how, not gonna do it. Which says more about our relationship and my husband than it does about the assignment, actually. All right. So one of the things, so you start with door hangers and flyers, door to door. I love this. One of the things that you credit with the growth of your business, your organizing business, was that you had, I think, a column in a local newspaper. Those still exist, actually. So, but before we talk about that, I want to ask you if you still write this column before I like go dig into it.
No, but I just pitched another local newspaper group because I'd love to do it again. It's like a Dear Kathy for organizing. I just literally
Oh,
pitched
yeah.
last, but I want to do that again.
All right, so that is really interesting, because so how did the column in your local newspaper translate to growth in the business for you?
Oh, it was huge. Well, okay, a bunch of different things. Number one, I had to write 500 words a week.
Okay.
And every week, I had to list a 500. I had to submit a 500-word article, a Dear Kathy, and so that kept me dedicated and strong and diligent on learning my trade and learning my craft. Right.
Yep.
It also gave me publicity locally. Right.
Okay.
It also made me an expert. It also helped me put content on my website, which helped my website grow. Because I had all this, 500 words a week. In fact, if you go to my original website, Add Space to Your Life, it's, 5 years of 500 words a week. There's a lot of content on there that you can search for anything you could possibly want about organizing or getting organized. But what happened was then that helped me increase my Google rankings. And then I was caught, I was approached by Good Morning America to feature me a successful women business startup.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So nationwide media, that's an amazing story. Okay, so I'm going to ask you a question, which is just for your opinion, and I'm just curious because I was thinking about it, because we have this long amount of time. What do you think is the 2025 equivalent of that local newspaper column in terms of what you know, small businesses are looking for today? I mean, you can say you're not sure, because when I think about it, I'm not actually sure what it is these days.
The version, the 20. Well, I think, I guess it would be social media experts.
Yeah. But it's not really the same, because in the early 2000s, in the 90s and the 80s and the 70s, it was a resource, like it really amplified. They had a real following. So it was like a real like level up expertise. And when I was thinking about it, I mean, I think you're right. I think that is the answer, but I just don't think that it doesn't give you quite the same impact, because social media, we're out there like giving our own message. It's not quite like, you know, the Los Angeles Times or even, you know, the Miami local paper. Those local papers are still around. It's just that it's been a long time since I've actually read a local paper, I will admit it. So, all right. So this was quite a while ago that we did, that you moved to California and you started this business. Do you still offer the same services, or have they evolved? And what do you do these days?
I still offer the same services, but they've evolved a lot. So, you know, at the beginning, I was always in homes.
Okay.
And then what happened was I found out I love working with women entrepreneurs. Now, I've been a serial entrepreneur basically my whole entire life. And so I love, and I'm artistic creative. So I found my niche of the people that I love to work with are women entrepreneurs who are artistic creative, because I get them.
Okay.
And that's why I do style and organizing, because it keeps me amused. So now you can still find me in homes. I love getting in a garage. A lot of the old timers say, I'm not going into a garage. I love a garage. It's a good workout. It's always me and the missus. The guy's always not around. And so, so it's a good workout. So I love that. And I still do that. But now really my focus is women business owners. Let's put some systems together for them so that they can thrive. The majority of the artistic creative entrepreneurs, they get kind of caught in the muck of their stuff, which was my first book, is How to Master Your Muck. They get stuck in the muck and then they lose their verve. They lose their passion about their business because they're in the weeds.
Yeah.
They're no longer doing what they started their business to do. They're like stuck in busyness and all the crap that it takes to run a business. So my joy now is helping them have the systems running in the background of their life and their business so that they can actually thrive and do what they started their business to do, which is really not getting organized, not building systems, not any of that crap. It's something else, right?
And so this is some of this. So when we think of organizing, and you talked about it, it's the garage, it's the accumulation of physical stuff. But when you're talking about a business, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that you're talking about like sort of a digital organization, like systems and files and accounts and, you know, the things that they're not out on your desk necessarily or in the office, there might be online.
Oh no, they're out on the desk as well.
Okay, so both of these things.
Yeah, I got my certification. I'm a certified paper flow specialist because if anybody over the age of 35 has paper challenges.
Okay.
Especially as a business owner, you know, there's papers everywhere. And the reason being, it's not because we're silly or don't know. We don't know because no one taught us what to do with papers. No one teaches us how to get them gone, how long we need to keep them, where we need to keep them. Can we get rid of them? Right. So they just kind of stay there. So it generally starts with the atmosphere of the person's workspace. How is it laid out? Is it laid out like a business? You know, I can't tell you how many women are working on their dining room table and they have a business, right? But they're not even set up as a business. So it usually starts with the physical environment. Then we go into the digital environment and then we go into time management and, you know, let's grow up and become a business owner that has systems put in place. It's set up like a business. It works like a business so they can get out of busyness and focus on their strength and their passion on why they even started.
So I may have told you, and I've talked before, I may have told you this story, but one of the things that I lucked into as an early employee was that just by chance, because I was a new person in my 20s, I was working in an office and the guy I was working for, he sent the whole team to a training seminar, a half-day seminar, a success seminar, these kind of things that you used to do. And this was about papers. And they taught a touch-it-once kind of system of organization. I don't know if that's what you teach. Anyway, I was the youngest person in the team from our office that went. Everybody around me was just totally poo-pooing it and making fun of it the way we do sometimes when our bosses send us for courses. And I, on the other hand, was like, this is miraculous. Like, I was totally open to it, thought it was really helpful, and have always been really thankful for it. I don't always follow it, but when I do have accumulated paper on my desk, I go back and I'm like, okay, it's out of control. Like, what do I, touch it once and move on. And many years ago, when somebody sent me a thing about zero inbox, I was like, oh, this feels like the same thing I was taught with papers. All right. So we've talked a little bit about what you're doing. I want to give you a direct chance to tell people about your business, what you're doing today specifically, and how you want them to connect and follow you online after the show.
Oh, thanks, Amy. That's very generous. So right now I'm working on a Google masterclass. I have one coming up on September 9th. It's a 6-week program to help you get all of your tech life figured out using Google Suite, or you don't have to even buy Google Suite, like Gmail, Calendar, Google Drive, Google Documents. Like, because what happens now, even if you have your papers under control, we have documents spread all over our computer. We don't know where they are. Are they online? Are they in Drive? Are they in a zip? Where the heck are all our computer? You know, the average entrepreneur wastes 4.5 hours a week trying to find documents they know that they own, but they cannot find. So it's crazy. It's crazy.
I might spend 4.5 hours a week resetting online passwords, but I don't know about document hunting. Just kidding. Go on. Sorry.
That's what you need, password vault.
Yes.
So this class is all about the pain of electronics and digital data now, right? Yeah. How do we clear our inbox? Inbox zero, I think, is kind of, I don't even have inbox zero. I don't care enough for that. That seems like extreme to me. But I do have a handout that says inbox hero routine instead of inbox zero. And if you follow it for 7 days, this will be a download you guys can grab.
Yes, that's what I've got. I just looked down. I was like, wait a minute, that's my next thing.
Because what happens, I find two major points with digital drama and trauma and distress. It's your inbox and it's your documents. So if you can clear your inbox and at least have some kind of a rational, inbox where you have under 50 or 100, and everybody's different on what their tolerance is, right? But if you can get your inbox under control and you can find your digital documents, you're looking good for running a business. I mean, obviously, then you have calendar. You have to deal with your calendar. You have to deal with your time management. You have to know where things are. So the whole Google Workspace Masterclass is developed around that, so that you can actually tame the stuff that's on your computer and make it work for you, as opposed to spending hours, losing hours in what you're trying to find or do or go in. You know, you can go into your inbox. I don't know if you realize this, Amy, but your inbox, the only thing an email is a call to action. So when you go into your inbox, you are not in, you're in reaction mode. You're not in proactive mode. Even if you think you're going in there to clean it out, someone's asking you to do something. The only reason that you get an email is they want you to do something.
Yeah.
Click here, read this, take this, forward this, blah, 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 right? So now you're reacting to what everybody in the world wants you to do, as opposed to being proactive and doing your work.
Yeah, there was a very popular business study, or maybe it was just an essay or a headline, I have no idea, in the early 2000s about how much time people lose during the day if they're responding to emails. So one of the executives in my office, this is one of my favorite stories from this company. If any of my old coworkers are listening, they're going to totally crack up. He was like, that's it. No more long emails. It needs to, whatever you're saying needs to fit into the subject line of the email, and only check your email twice a day or whatever. But then what people did is they were putting like documents into the subject line. Email. It's like three paragraphs. The entire content of the email was in the subject line. It absolutely did not work for the, and this was still in the time of reply to all. So like, was like, there's just this massive, 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 massive issue. But that this sounds like a wonderful thing. You do have a fantastic offer for the listeners called the Inbox Hero Routine. And it's 7 days to clear out the overwhelm. And normally this is part of your bigger course, but the people who are responding from the audience that are watching the show, they can click on the link and get access to that. That's very generous. I want to thank you very much. I don't think you shouted out your website where you are or social media where you want people to follow up with you. So go ahead and do that.
Okay, go to organizedandenergized.com.
All right. And that link is in the show notes and everything too, so.
Yeah. And there's also a productivity checklist. If you're interested in ramping up your productivity, you can download that as well. That's right there. But you'll find all sorts of resources for yourself on, ask a question, you'll get an answer on the website. So yeah.
Spectacular. No, you've been doing this for a significant amount of time. And so the amount of resources and volume of stuff that you have to offer is really impressive. So now it is time for the final three questions. Are you ready, Kathy?
I am ready. I'm putting on my seatbelt.
Sometimes I feel like I overemphasize how intense these are. But all right, in the morning, are you a coffee or a tea drinker or something else?
Coffee.
All right. Modern technology often gets a pretty bad rap, and you get to define what modern means for this question. It's whatever you decide it is. What is one modern invention that you truly appreciate and actually would probably not like to try and live life without?
My Google Calendar.
I agree.
Thank God for that.
I agree. I'll
end up with all my other stuff.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. I am a big fan of the Google products. I am. All right. So I once knew a guy who had a weekly call, a phone call with his elementary school best friends for decades and decades. Thinking about your personal friendship circle, how long or how old is your longest lasting friendship?
Seventh grade.
Very nice.
We're dear, 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 dear friends. We communicate all the time. I love her. She's my bestie. I've known her since seventh grade.
I love that. All right. That's it. Kathy Burns, thank you so much for being a wonderful guest today on the show.
You're very welcome. It's a pleasure. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obvi again, please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself, head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adult to your adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.